Blog Talk Radio.
There's some dangerous large carnivore out there.
And I saw that bird kick a young deer off the road and fly away.
And it was just about getting dark, and we started panicking, running down the ridge, not really having any clue what was throwing rocks in our vicinity, good-sized rocks. And I stopped long enough to get a 357 out of my backpack and look back, and that's when I saw it. I saw one.
For a week, the town of Defiance was being harassed by a werewolf. And it's actually attacked two railroad workers, killed livestock. You know, just a lot of weird stuff that was going on.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Monster X Radio, where the X marks the spot for everything cryptid. We are back. After a brief hiatus, we've returned to the airwaves. I'm your host, Johnny Bigfoot, the author of Bigfoot Research News Blog and the founder of the DFRO, which is the Dogman Field Research Organization. I've been fascinated with cryptids pretty much my whole life. I'm glad you can join me on this quest for insight and answers. I guess first and foremost, I'd like to dedicate this show to our number one fan, Stephanie Henderson, a.k.a. Wild at Heart, who recently passed away. She was a big fan of the show and a close friend of many of us. And with me tonight is my new co-host, Bigfoot enthusiast Crystal. Welcome to the show, Crystal.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. It's good to be here, and I'm looking forward to getting the show back on with everything and keeping up to date with all of the Bigfoot talk and other cryptids and all of those type things. So I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has.
And we also have third co-host. He's a Bigfoot enthusiast slash researcher out of Oregon and the owner of Sasquatch Coffee, which I'm proud to announce is our official sponsor here at Monster X Radio. Welcome, Gunnar Monson.
Hey, Johnny. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Great, man. Doing good.
Good.
So you're a researcher, I see now. You've been going out in the field a little bit. I saw some pictures online.
Yeah, well, I've been a BFRO investigator for a bunch of years, more than I can count now. So, but I'm working with a small group now in an area that in the Oregon Coast Range, but we've had a lot of interesting stuff happen.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, the Tillamook Forest Research Project.
Sweet, yeah, I saw that you were doing some stuff with Shane and Larry. Mm-hmm. And doing good stuff with good people. Well, I guess, Oh, go ahead.
No, we're out about every other weekend in our research area, so.
Cool. Well, yeah. Shane's a good guy to be out there with.
Yes, he is.
Well, you got a little business out there in Oregon, too, a food market, I see, as well. Is that where you sell the Sasquatch coffee?
I do. I sell it out of my grocery store, but it's also online at www.squatchcoffee.com.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, stuff's great. I mean, I love it. Mom loves it. Good product coming from a good source.
You
want to tell us a little bit more about, you know, what inspired you to get into that? How it all got started.
A friend of mine actually roasts coffee, and when I tasted it, it was like the best coffee I ever had. So I just thought, you know, it'd be cool to have a Bigfoot coffee. And I talked to him about it, and he said, yeah, that'd be fun to do. So we put together a website, and we're rocking and rolling.
Nice. Yeah, and you also got shirts and mugs and
other stuff
as well.
Yeah, we just
that's awesome.
We just got some new T-shirts, Feeling Squatchy, which now is controversial, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we will be doing a giveaway after the break tonight, so if you're in the chat room, you have a chance to win. I'll be adding names to the random name picker throughout the first hour, and then we'll draw a winner after the break. It just feels so good to be back. You know, after all this time, it's a good time to be back because it's squatching season. I guess we can start off with some Bigfoot news, you know, and then we can get into the topic of the evening. So what's been going on in the Bigfoot world? What have you guys been seeing that's been a topic of interest or a hot topic?
The Sykes paper was just released. I don't know that it was as exciting as everyone had hoped, because apparently there wasn't much to do with Bigfoot there, but I thought it was pretty exciting.
It was cool that
they've
done some DNA analysis, and it did come back with, you know, an unknown bear, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It shows that there are some unknown animals out there.
Yeah,
that's true.
And Sykes, he seemed pretty nice enough to at least...
Sykes, I was going to say that. I held the pun.
At least he said that, you know, that regardless of the fines, it's not to say that there's not something out there. So, I mean, that wasn't... It's not as though it was proven there is no Bigfoot. So, you know.
Yeah.
Possibility for anything still.
Yeah, he released his paper, which I haven't read yet. I'm sure
read the paper. I'm better at reading everyone else's interpretation of the paper because I'm not able to understand what is written in the paper.
Yeah.
So everyone
else's
interpretations are good enough. You know, they read it, they decipher it, and then I read what they write in layman's terms, so that works.
Yeah, it's probably pretty interesting, and I'm sure it's a little bit more of what we already know with a technical twist to it, but I guess he's also going to be leading an expedition into the Himalayas soon here to search for that hybrid bear.
Really?
Yeah, so that should be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's
neat. 'Cause I'm not sure when those samples, those, you know, what they thought were Yeti. I'm not sure when those were actually found or taken.
I don't know
so this,
where they were found, who they were found by.
I saw a video that mentioned, like, one was sample was from 40 years ago.
Okay.
And was tied with the person who submitted it or to the collection that they got it from having a sighting of a bear that they'd never seen before.
That's awesome. So there's a very good chance that these things are still out there.
Yeah, I'd see no reason for them to be, unless you saw the last one.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to, as if this thing is bipedal. I mean, I don't think the ancient one necessarily was. I'm not sure. But if this one could have evolved or adapted to bipedalism.
The bear?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting, yeah.
You know, I think the greatest thing to come from this whole project, I mean, as far as Bigfooters are concerned, was just the fact that science was willing to work with cryptozoologists and Bigfooters. You know, that was a huge step. You know, a lot of times they complain or that people will say, you know, science won't look our way, but I think it's just a matter of having tangible evidence. You know, you can't expect a blurry picture of a stump to be the tool of persuasion and getting science to look your way.
No. Yeah, I thought he was pretty fair looking and pretty fair and, you know, going about things the way he did. Some people aren't happy, and there's no way to please everyone. I'm not sure exactly what I personally am looking for, but I hear a lot of people who've been involved in this for a while saying that they need the scientific community to jump on board and make this happen and look at it seriously. But then I also see at the same time when that happens and the results don't match what, you know, the researchers or community or whatever wanted, then they argue the point. Then they say, oh, you didn't do it right, or, you know. So I'm not sure that that's necessarily the answer either. I mean, obviously it is. You can't, from what they say, you can't argue science. It's not biased.
Yeah, you just got to have something to show science. And I think, you know, I think we can work with them again. It's just going to have to be, more evidence gathered and presented. And it seems like people like Sykes and, you know, Todd Disitel and working closely with Stacy Brown. So
I like
there's
him.
There's people that are interested. And, you know, whether they believe or not is one thing. They're at least interested and open to the possibility.
Right, they're entertaining it.
Native Alien said we need to read the paper and especially the last paragraph.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give it a read. It's just I have a feeling it could be a little bit over my head.
I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I will. I'll look at it. But like I said, yeah, so I bring up a topic that I'm not, that I'm not even, you know, well, that's news. That's what's been going around, so.
Yeah, that's all that I've, you know, I guess that's the major news that's been floating around.
Right.
Then some little stuff here and there. Well, I'd like to welcome everyone in the chat room. And we'll be getting into the topic of the
comments.
Topic of the evening here, and you call in at 347-326-9859. You can listen live, or you can press 1 to talk. See, we got Paul Hayes in there. We got a lot of old time regulars. We got Keith and Patrick. So, okay, well, let's get into the topic here. Why isn't Bigfoot research succeeding today? And, you know, what can we do to remedy that?
I'm not sure that it's not succeeding. It's just a really slow process. I've already got Dr. Matt Johnson is weighing in with his opinion. So he thinks that the problem with Bigfoot research is that most researchers are emulating Peter Burns' archaic, outdated, and ineffective aggressive approach of chasing Bigfoot through the woods trying to obtain the paparazzi money shot. So, I don't know how familiar everybody is with Dr. G's research, but yeah, I knew he would have an opinion.
Well, have you seen that Leonard Nimoy In Search of Bigfoot that was done in the 70s?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I'm old enough to remember it when it was on Airline.
Yeah, it's like I watched that not too long ago, and you watch something like that, and it's almost like it's totally relevant today. In some ways, it's a pure form of Bigfoot research than you see today. It's like we almost have to go backwards. Another one is that have you seen Bigfoot Man or Beast with Robert Morgan?
Oh yeah, it's been a while.
That I saw that not too long ago too. That is my favorite Bigfoot documentary I've ever seen. I mean, that guy's my hero. That was a serious research. I mean, he had a biologist with him. He had expert trackers. I mean, they were going places where they didn't even want the cameras to go because it was just too hard to track and too dangerous. And it makes you feel like you're just right there and you're just about to get the discovery. You know, you think the next one they're going to have it.
That sounds kind of familiar. Finding formula, except.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen that Bigfoot Man or Beast, I think I got it on my blog. That is a great one. I'd like to know more about Robert Morgan's work since then, because I mean that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it looks like we already got a caller here. One, you're on MXR. Hello? Okay. I guess they're not, no one's there. But, yeah, that's an awesome one. I really liked that show. I felt like, it makes you want to get out and research. It makes you want to do it right.
Now,
it just seems like things are going so slow.
Yeah, and that's what you said. You almost want to go back to that way. Now, I haven't seen the documentary, but what sort of methods were they implementing then? Were they now? Did you say that was set in the 70s as well?
Yeah.
It was. So were they yelling and screaming and banging on? No. Who's laughing?
That's me.
Is that not the way that you would Bigfoot in the 70s?
I think that's
not
their progress.
No, they had the biologists studying the different plants and, patterns of seasons, and the tracker was, he'd go off on his own for a while. And yeah, I think it was that one where they were saying that they didn't think they ate deer back then. They thought they were more, omnivores, but that they weren't eating the big game and stuff. And so there's a whole, whereas Matt Moneymaker knows they eat deer.
Yeah.
So you kind of have, you know, a little bit different, you know, ways. And I don't know, as far as the whole deer thing goes, who knows? I mean, if they're trying to avoid us, my personal opinion is I don't think they eat deer just because they're trying to avoid us. And until I see more evidence of them and that, I mean, it's good theory and it's very possible, but, you know, you got to be pretty fast and strong to catch a deer. You know, there's some
I think they're pretty fast and strong. I think they're physically capable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, then that also depends.
Go ahead. Native Alien has a good point in the chat room. It's going to take a specimen first to establish the species. You know, that no matter how much DNA we have from an unknown, the best we're going to have is that there's an unknown animal out there. Doesn't define it as a Bigfoot or Sasquatch, whatever your preferred forest people. So
a lot of people don't like to hear that.
Yeah, well, I'm not suggesting we go out and
me neither.
Right, to bring back a body, but
no, I mean, if you happen upon one, then you know.
Yeah.
Which that doesn't.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That so far hasn't likely happened.
Only,
so.
Yeah. Only happens in fantasy.
Yeah.
Made up thoughts and memories.
Yeah, that would be ideal. Would just be to find one. But yeah, it just seems, you know, I think with the internet though and the interconnectedness of everything, it seems like we should be able to try some new things and move forward with this. It's hard to get people to work together and agree on things, but that's just human nature.
I think part of the challenge is the fragmentation of Bigfoot research. You know, you got a bunch of, first of all, we don't have any full-time professional people, scientists out trying to study the phenomenon. You know, even the scientists that are involved, Dr. Meldrum and Bendernagel and such, are, you know, they're not doing it full-time. There's no scientific grants out there for Bigfoot research. So you got a lot of people out there doing it on their own time, on their own dime, and groups that don't talk to each other. So a lot of, you know, things starting, everybody starts from ground zero. So
that's true. You know, I think we just need more boots on the ground. That's exactly right. And I mean, if you look at how many hunting licenses are sold every year, it's, you know, there's millions in America and very few sightings out of that. So in comparison, I mean, there's, you know, hundreds maybe of Bigfoot researchers that go out in the woods and, you know, actually research and look for certain signs.
Trying to read some of the notes in the chat.
Huh.
What are some things you think are going right in Bigfoot research?
I think there's some good examples out there that, you know, the Olympic Project is a good example of a group that's trying to employ scientific methods, you know, methodology in their research. I think there's some groups that are starting to collaborate. I think that's another challenge in Bigfooting, is competition versus collaboration.
I agree.
People and big egos and I also think there's the phenomenon of my Bigfooting is better than your Bigfooting, which I laugh at, since if that were the case, we wouldn't still be looking, so.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good groups out there. You know, I think the MNBRT, Abe, he runs a real sound, good approach, stays out of the drama. You know, he's just focused on the research aspects. You got Steve Coles. I don't know if he's been doing much lately, but... And you got, yeah, like you said, the Olympic Project. You got Shane. He's going out, it seems like, every weekend. There's a lot of, you know, good groups and people. You got Paul and the Janoska Project in Ohio. A lot of people that seem to be, you know, real passionate and in it for what I would consider the right reasons.
Right. And there's the other challenge is what, you know, there's no central clearinghouse for processing evidence. So even if somebody, you know, found a large clump of hair, what would they do? Would they know what to do with it or how to process it? Or I wonder how much evidence never makes it to being analyzed.
Oh, good point.
What's the expense of doing any analysis? And so.
Yeah, and the human contamination factor. A lot of people don't know the process of handling the evidence, and so I think, you know, the education needs to be there as well. Yeah, I think, you know, and I don't know, people are trying different methods and out there. I just watched some videos with Tim Stover, the Ohio Bigfoot Hunters, and he's got his top secret drone. He's not releasing what it looks like to the public yet, but you can see it flying in the air with the GoPro camera. And while it's kind of loud, thing's pretty sweet. And it's able to cover a lot of area.
It'll be interesting to see. He has a GoPro cam, but I doubt that it's night vision. It's probably just something you use in the daytime?
Yeah, I'm guessing so. The only videos I've seen were him using it in the day.
Yeah.
He seems real innovative, though. With stuff like that. And yeah. I think it's Project Dark Horse. He's just starting to release some videos and getting out there. He's got some cool stuff he hooks up with his truck too, and at night, so he has the night set up as well where he can scan the woods from his truck and things. But I think it's just, you know, we got to try new stuff. What we've tried so far isn't working, obviously, and not enough to, you know, I guess prove it. Or everyone's goals are different, you know. Some people
That's
are
true.
Just happy with seeing one. And I think the more time, though, I spend on the online community, the more I want to prove it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I think we're used to getting things so fast, too, in America, and getting fast results, and, you know, it's like a bunch of
instant gratification.
We're a bunch of hungry wolves that come online every day waiting to be fed.
Yeah.
And there's just not enough food to go around.
Another question is, if they stay away from game cams, do you think they will come out and see the drone flying overhead? I'm not entirely, and in fact, I've debated, called some friends of mine and say, well, there's no, you know, they avoid game cams and there's no pictures of them on game cams. There certainly are some things, you know, of course there's no definitive paparazzi shot of a squatch on a game cam, but there's some pretty interesting-looking game cam photos.
Yeah, and there's some that haven't been released to the public as well. I've heard about, anyway.
I'm not
everything goes on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that they totally. I think if there's a more compelling reason, like food, that they're not aware. Just like a person, you know, if you put a camera up in my house on the wall, I'd probably recognize it. But if there was a fire and you put one up on my house, I probably would not be focused on the camera on the wall. So if they're compelled to go look for food, or if you put it in an area probably maybe where they're familiar with and they're sauntering through, they may avoid it. But, again, it's just what level of intelligence do they have? We've had a lot of interesting things with audio, and that has raised that question is, can they differentiate between an audio recorder and a video recorder? I don't know if a human could do that if it was the first time they'd seen one. So,
well, that was another thing. I've set out a game camera, and I'm actually kind of not putting it out right now because I felt creepy by the amount of humans I caught walking by who were completely unaware of the fact that it was there. So that raises an issue for me where if there are in one case, there were three separate days where two guys walked by around the same time, three separate days, and that was just thrown in there for familiarity with the area. They obviously come through there often because it was around the same exact time on three separate days during that week, and they had no idea. And that was along with maybe, you know, three or four other sets of people. So I obviously picked a very wrong spot because it was just overrun with humans. But I caught some deer and some wildlife as well. But if humans with, you know, given our intelligence are unaware that there's something hanging on the tree, but I guess if you take into consideration, like you said, that being their home, maybe they would notice more.
And I don't think that we have our senses are kind of dumbed down. I think
okay.
Their senses are probably more heightened to environment than we are for the most, unless you're like, you got hunters that they're getting a hunting mode, and it's interesting to see them flip on their, you know, all of a sudden they can smell better, and I don't mean they personally smell better, but they can pick up scents. But, you know, people just walking through the woods may not be as inclined to see a camera.
Oh, no. I walked right by one once, and then we were coming back out of the woods is when we noticed it. It was on the ground, chained to a tree, angled up at a tree. So I don't think it was used, you know, it wasn't for Bigfoot. I think it was more for raccoons, who knows. But nonetheless, we were thinking, we're like, are we on that camera?
Yep. Well,
we walked by it and didn't see it the first time. Or, you know, so that thing was hidden. And I didn't sense it with my extra senses.
Well, how likely then, in that same sense, the people who are out there, boots on the ground, looking for evidence of sorts, how observant are they? Now, I know there's quite a few people with some pretty unparalleled senses, and they're out there, and they're just straight ninja, for lack of a better term. They know what they're doing. They're aware in their mind, anyhow, of what it is they're looking for evidence-wise and how to collect it, and they have it mapped out, and they're strategic, and they know what they're doing. But is that the same for everyone? I could go out tomorrow, and you could drop me in what you believe to be the best area for Bigfoot. I don't know that I'm observant enough to find what it is we should be looking for.
Well, that's another, when we're talking about problems with Bigfoot research, there's, you know, all these different levels of ability, you know, skill levels of people that are going out and don't even know what they're looking for or wouldn't know what they were looking for if they saw it. So the only thing that they're wandering around in the woods looking, you know, hoping that a Bigfoot walks in front of them.
Right.
Which would be pretty cool.
Well, yeah. That'd be handy if they were that cooperative.
They're only that cooperative with the unsuspecting, it seems. The ones who are out just enjoying nature otherwise, whether they're riding ATVs, fishing, backpacking, whatever, you know, those are the ones that Bigfoot walk out in front of for some reason, not anyone who's actually looking for Bigfoot, it doesn't seem.
I know Dr. J would disagree with that statement, because his claim is that he's seeing them quite regularly. And I actually have been out to SOA.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot say that I saw Bigfoot. The only thing that was compelling to me, I mean, there was a lot of sounds in the woods and stuff at night. I didn't see anything. But the food bowls were compelling. The, you know, lack of small animal sign. We actually pulled fingerprints off the bowls one morning that had dermal ridges in them. So, and one morning we got up and there was an apple down the trail that had been in the bowl, and it was in pristine condition except for the spot it was on the ground was dirty, where it was sitting on the ground, otherwise it was clean, no bite marks. So that was pretty interesting. So, but not, you know, of course, all the paranormal stuff is impossible to prove no matter what, you know, somebody says they cloak or mind speak or whatever. That stuff is difficult, and only, you know, I think somebody who experiences is going to ever buy into that, so.
Yeah, it's tough. Bigfoot in itself is a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people.
Right. Right.
So adding anything extra to the idea of that,
I'm not sure they can avoid game cams either.
Yeah,
you know, you'd have to be perfect. Like, if it's raining super hard out and a squatch is hungry, is he going to sense everyone? I mean, it's... But yet, like you say, he runs in front of the family of four-wheelers, which are
the family
much louder and much more vibration.
Yeah. Well, because I guess the smell of the chemicals or plastics or even the electronic mechanisms or whatever you would call it, those are things that I've heard, which, you know... In that sense, actually, it doesn't seem too far off to me, because, you know, some animals do have. They can sense things.
But other animals are caught sniffing game cams and stuff
and looking at them.
Yes.
Right. So they know, they realize they're there and that they're unusual. So. I mean, if you take something new and put it in, you know, the living room, your cat will go check it out, you know. So they know things. Animals are aware of things that aren't normally in their environment.
Yeah.
Right.
And at the same time, there's going to be days where the wind's blowing a certain way, and maybe there's some other frequency that's throwing them this way. I just don't think they can avoid every single one. I mean, that's, I guess...
No, certainly not. And then, entertaining that notion, then we would have to know how many game cameras per square mile of their home range, and then what's their home range? Do you know?
Right. It just keeps
going on and on and on and on, the unanswered questions and speculation, more or less, which is fun and sometimes frustrating, but... It's all to no end some days.
Of course, then you fast forward to, even if you got a pristine game cam picture, it's not going to be the definitive proof that prove, you know, brings a fully documented animal. It's going to be another game cam picture.
Yeah.
So.
True, but I think it would be a step in the right direction. You know, especially like, you know, if I went out and checked a game cam and there's a Bigfoot on there, and you know, I looked and there's some prints and there's some hair. You know, if there's some corroborating evidence with it, I think that's pretty huge. I mean, then you know they're in that area and you can go from there.
Right. But it's still, I mean, it's not going to be enough for science.
True.
Even,
it's enough for
me,
though.
We have that with the Patterson-Gilman foot. You know, we have an animal on camera and then we have footprints that go with it. Not enough.
That doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
And we're still debating it.
Right.
50 years later. It's we're due for something new.
For the most part, not debating it, but we're still trying to put it forward, you know, convince other people that it's real.
Yeah, it's a touchy deal. It's Bigfoot is a passionate subject, and there's a lot of animosity, and people get upset, and you mess with someone's belief, and it can get ugly quick. It's kind of made me, you know, somewhat skeptical and cynical, and you kind of just become numb to the blob squatches that keep rolling through.
I'm not a fan of red circles.
Yeah.
Like if you can't put a picture up that, I mean, I get it. Maybe you saw it. Maybe there was a, you know, it walked away and that was the picture you got. Maybe, you know, maybe they're just fuzzy. I mean, that maybe squatches are naturally fuzzy. So.
Yeah.
And
they're just blurry. That's right.
That's right. They're just naturally blurry. There was a comic that did a bit about that. So.
Yeah, Max Headroom.
Yeah. That freaks me out more that there's this, you know, a 10-foot monster in the woods that is fuzzy.
Yeah, it's amazing how they have never been caught on a trail cam, at least a picture that's definitive, I guess, and that's been to the public. But the state of Wisconsin has just started a trail cam project, which is supposed to be the biggest project in the world. You know, it has to do with different wildlife ideas and concepts, and they're going to allow people to moderate and regulate some of these cameras and then upload the pictures to a public website. So I think that's going to be a big deal because it's got funding and they're going to cover a lot of area with that project.
That's Dogman territory, correct?
True.
Yeah.
True, but it's...
So that's not helping the Bigfoot? No, I'm just kidding.
There's a... Bigfoot's in northern Wisconsin, supposedly.
Yeah. Well, they are.
I think Matt Moneymaker said there's 300.
That's so specific. Just 300? When was this said? Because could there be 302 or 3 now? Have babies been born?
Well, if you walk through certain parts of the forest, there are population signs up. You just got to be really looking for them.
Oh, okay.
You're now entering Squatchville population, you know, 304.
Oh, I didn't see a baby Sasquatch.
That's awesome.
But they are. They're doing it here in PA, too. They're asking the public, you know, to get involved. The PA Game Commission, whoever, they're wanting bat information. Information on the bats, you know. I guess they're dwindling, maybe. I don't know. But they're asking the public to get involved with their efforts to get, you know, counts. So
yeah,
they are. So, you know, that's also going to be interesting with everyone involving the public and things like that, because that's not usually the way they go about doing things. But when you need help with tracking wildlife and keeping up on population and everything like that, and you reach out to the public, then that is going to be more interesting to see. Let's see what happens there, if they're going to implement a ton of game cameras out and, you know, people out looking to see what new things come about. That would be interesting to see if Bigfoot or Dogman or whoever.
Yeah, I like projects like that because the public's involved, you know, and it's not like you can say there's some conspiracy to hide everything. You know, they're like, hey, you guys can do it. You can upload it to this public site. You know, get
yeah.
a picture of Bigfoot, throw it up there. But yeah,
you got some comics in the chat room because apparently they're saying that Matt knows all 300 of those squashes personally, and they had a family barbecue, magical around the campfire. Bigfoot were flashing their eye lights at each other. I'm glad I didn't have something in my mouth. What's the drinking with when Matt said that their eyes are bioluminescent and they could be? I'm like, man, dude, how do we know that? First of all, that's a controversial thing. You know, that's a hard one to swallow. And now we know exactly why they have it, why it exists. And that's there's a big thing that I think is wrong in Bigfoot research, is people stating things as fact.
Yep.
Coming to a conclusion and acting like we know something when, I mean, we can really know, state what we know on one hand. You know, there's something large leaving impressions on in the ground. There's a lot of eyewitness testimony. You know, there's a lot of sightings that are reported. We also know that there's, you know, hoaxing that goes on. But we don't know that they have bioluminescent eyes and they use that to communicate with each other. Sorry, Matt, if you're listening.
That's a lot.
We're just going by what we hear, Matt.
That's not a rumor. I saw him say it on a popular television show.
Yeah, I saw it live. Well, maybe not live, but I saw it on television. So it has to be true.
So I see glowing eyes. Yeah, and I think there's a... Then we, you know, there's things that may be characteristics that perhaps they do have. It'd be easier for me to buy that cloaking was a byproduct of infrasound, that we were... Because we know that infrasound exists.
Right.
And that infrasound may, you know, disorientate the effect on humans. That maybe disorientate us so we don't see something, you know. But I have a hard time with they vibrate, they change their, you know, vibrational frequency so they're not in front of you anymore. What would be the need for them to do that?
Yeah, and why didn't Patty do it?
Yeah, that's why. Why do we ever see them then?
Yeah,
well,
why don't they'll just live downtown.
Why is it able to be captured?
What's that?
Why is it able to be captured on film, on cameras? I see pictures posted where it will involve the red circle, and it'll say here he is cloaking this or that or whatever, and I'm confused by that, because if you say, no, I don't see it, it upsets people, but at the same time, it's being posted as an invisible entity, I'm assuming, so you shouldn't be able to see it.
You think?
See.
You think that? Of course, you know, maybe it's a conscious thing that, like, alien, they turn it on and off.
Well,
Patty sure as hell should have turned it off, or on, because...
Maybe she left her cloaking device with, you know, when she got out of the shower.
Yeah,
true.
Well, that happens.
Because
that
when
happens.
You got a man getting off his horse with a gun.
What's that?
You got a man getting off his horse with a gun. It's time to cloak.
I think it's time to cloak. Now, perhaps Patty was leading away from, you know, some youngins or something. I don't know.
So she let them cloak.
Yeah, they hadn't learned to cloak yet.
A force field. She projected her cloaking abilities and created a force field around the babies.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I don't mean to disrespect the people who believe that, because one of the other things I think that is a challenge is picking and choosing what parts of what's reported that we want to believe if it doesn't fit. And I still think if those people that are out there are having those experiences, it needs to be part of the record. Can't prove it. I mean, it's going to be impossible to prove those things. But I also think that we can't just discount it and throw it away because it doesn't fit in our belief system.
Right. I agree with that. And, a lot of people get upset with me whenever I question things such as cloaking, because that's not something that I'm willing to just accept because you say so. And
right.
I don't mean to be brash, and I don't mean to come across disrespectful with my questions, and in most cases, they're honest inquiry in the beginning and quickly unravel into, whatever. But I don't understand everything. We don't all understand everything. It seems out there. It seems unlikely. It's not anything that I'm used to. Nothing that I'm aware of in everyday life has the capabilities of disappearing. And which then also, even if you inquire, it's better to just leave it alone, because when you inquire about it, that brings up the other thing you touched on, which was stating for fact something. And
right.
And people seem to have the ability to do that concerning just about every aspect available. So while it's something you want to question and something you might want to attempt to understand, the answers aren't always clear or readily available.
Yeah, and like you've said before, you try to separate the person from the claim sometimes, because you never know. There could be someone that's embellishing something or seeing something a different way than you are or has hoaxed before,
right.
The boy that cried wolf. And
yeah.
They could be getting actual evidence as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it could be anyone. If there is a such thing as Bigfoot and they are out there, each individual here has their own interest, and it's pretty much up for grabs at this point, regardless of whose ego stands where and who thinks they're top of the line, top this, top that. It could, and not that it is a competition. Now I'm sounding like I'm making a competition, like who can get there first, and that's not the point either. But anyone is capable of finding evidence that I guess could be, the determining factor, the end of whatever.
That's what's kind of cool about it all, is it's an even playing field. So as much as someone wants to have an ego or brag or whatever, it's like, no one's brought home the trophy yet, so.
Right.
Johnny, did you say we need to go out and get a trophy Bigfoot? Are you trying to bring controversy to this show?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be the one lucky enough to even see one. It's like winning the lottery, I spent a lot of time in the woods growing up, and a lot of states and Canada, and I've yet to see one. I'm ready to win the lottery, though. and it's like someone here in Minnesota on the Finding Bigfoot episode, they had a family sighting on their four-wheelers, and I thought that was pretty interesting. I think they've seen it twice, but they're always buzzing through those, and you'd think that a Bigfoot that can sense every trail cam in the entire world would hear that four-wheeler coming and would position itself in an area where it's not going to be seen.
Well, Johnny, you have to keep in mind the fact that not only are they elusive and want to stay as far away from us as possible, they're also curious of us and want to come in close and peek. So, and that's a perfect example of choosing, you know, cherry picking which aspects you like. I guess you can't be one or the other. They either want nothing to do with us or they want to come in and watch us. I'm confused about that,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. You can't have it both ways. I'm not a believer in habituation because I haven't seen any results, and it goes against everything Bigfoot. I mean, they're either eating at our bird feeders or they're the most elusive thing that we can't even get a picture of. But not to say, you know, that's just my opinion, and who knows what people really are doing, but I just haven't seen anything that swayed me to a... think that. I don't think there's I think there's some serious trust issues going on.
And
yeah.
I don't blame them.
No. If I had to choose and you were allowed to cherry pick, I would assume that they wanted nothing to do with us and for good reason.
And you're and perhaps though with the whole four-wheeler thing, sound can do weird things in the woods and with wind and, you know, if there's hills, it can, different things. So, I mean, it's possible that you could think a sound's coming from a different way, that it's not. Something's buzzing around a trail and it's windy and there's a hill and different variables. And, you know, and I think food's their number one priority. Avoiding us, probably number two, but, you know, something 8 feet tall, 600 pounds has to eat. And if there ain't no food in an area, it's going to have to risk going across that trail. In our parks?
I don't think, there's stories of them looking right at people and seeming unaffected. You know, like they're not like scared. I mean, I think they are the physical superior in the woods. You know, we own technology. And our technology has not caught up to their physical mastery.
True. Well, I guess on that note, we're going to take a 5-minute break here. And we'll be back. And you guys are welcome to call in at 347-326-9859. Press 1 to talk. And we'll do the coffee drawing when we get back. And I'll leave you with Mason Randall's Silence Mastered. back. Time to give away some coffee, some Sasquatch coffee.
Not just any coffee, it's Sasquatch coffee.
Have you tried it, Yeti?
Have you tried it, Yeti? Very good. Actually, my web guy came up with that, and he's happy every time he hears somebody say it.
I'm upset that I can't be in the drawing.
Okay. Got everyone's name and the random name picker. I'm going to hit the button, and we're going to find out who wins one bag of coffee. Here we go. And the winner is Beth.
Oh.
Beth, you are the lucky winner of Sasquatch Coffee.
Congratulations, Beth.
Congratulations, Beth. Send us your mailing address so we can get that to you. Do you want to go to the website and pick out what kind you want? Just let me know. We'll send you a pound of coffee.
Nice.
But be prepared.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Drink any of that other kind of coffee, yeah.
And you have a few different flavors to pick from, correct?
We do.
Nice.
Seven.
Gotta love it.
Seven flavors?
Yeah, varieties, yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
have to visit the site and get a few.
So,
yeah, cool.
I got to ask you, Crystal, is Danger really your last name?
No, Danger is my middle name.
Okay, that's it. You and
no, I'm just kidding. Danger is not my middle name.
Well, let's see here. Back to Bigfoot. You know, I wanted to touch on those copters a little bit again. Those things seem kind of loud, and that's one complaint people have, but I'm sure Bigfoots have to be used to planes and trains and automobiles, you know. And I mean, I think something like that could be a huge success if implemented correctly. Just watching the thing fly, it covers such a big area, and Ohio has like a lot of farms with patches of woods, so there's a lot of open areas. I mean, especially in winter, it's primarily deciduous forest down there, and if there's as many Bigfoots down there as they say, unless they're going in underground bunkers, they're going to be visible in winter. If you were to fly something like that, I think that would be the time to fly those babies.
Oh, right. Bigfoot Hotspot said it's against the law to fly those over national parks in Washington.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Huh.
That is interesting.
I just saw, they said it upsets the wildlife. Well, everyone deserves their peace and quiet.
I'm sure it's a little loud.
Yeah.
And annoying, I guess, if you're going for total serenity and peace. We got a park here, Fort Snelling Park, and it's pretty woodsy and pretty cool, and a couple rivers connect there, and there's actually been a guy, he used to go by the name of Ed Running Horse on YouTube. He kind of seems to always be switching names. He found some hair down there. He was looking to get it tested and saw a tree shaking, and he had an actual Bigfoot sighting somewhere else, but nonetheless, that area is loud because it's right by the airport, so you'll be fishing, everything's just tranquil and perfect, and then a big plane flies over, and you can't even hear yourself talk. But I guess that's America, right?
Yep.
It is. Well, you were talking about some things that are right with Bigfooting. One of the projects that I'm watching is Cliff Berrickman's Orang Pendek project. I think that's kind of cool that someone who's involved in the Bigfoot research is able to solve that mystery and show that there's an unknown bipedal primate in Sumatra, that'd be bring some legitimacy to the Bigfoot phenomenon too. So good luck, Cliff. And I know that Adam Davies is involved in that too. So
yeah, that sounds like a real legitimate project.
I never know. You know, I see a lot on Facebook going around, and I never want to step on anyone's toes or talk about things that I see go on there, even though they're posted right there out in the public. I sometimes feel like I'm seeing it by accident, or, you know, it's supposed to be secret, so I never know which, you know. Now, obviously, anything to do with Cliff Brackman, I don't assume is secret, because he's pretty, you know, public. But, yeah, like you were talking about Dr. Johnson, and I saw also that Adam Davies was also in his SOHA research area. And, you know, that seems to be going on, and that was also something that I found interesting.
The Orang Pendek now, do they have pictures of that? I know they have... You know, people, you know, like Adam Davies and Simon Hicks, he's a big, cryptozoologist from Britain as well, and he acts like that's a pretty legit animal, or at least really close to being legit. I don't know that much about it.
I had heard the same thing, that it is, I mean, somehow... It's been associated with Bigfoot, and it's aligned. My belief was that it was, you know, that area's version of the Bigfoot. While it's smaller in size and proportions, I think 4 foot is the going, you know, size for the things. But I don't know that it's necessarily a cryptid. Apparently, it seems like it's a very good likelihood that there is such a thing. So are we talking average monkey now, or if it were discovered to be real, would it still fall in line with a Bigfoot creature?
Yeah, still remains to be seen until they, you know, have a specimen, I guess.
Okay.
Or able
the compelling evidence with the creature, which makes it... so close to a discovery or being real?
Are you asking me, or?
All right, yeah, if you guys know.
I know they're getting quite a few footprints, and I know the locals see them quite often, so.
Well, okay.
They sound very similar to, I don't know what Crystal was referring to, that they, you know, feel like it's more accepted, or so.
Not more accepted, just in terms of likelihood. I hear people who may be somewhat skeptical of Bigfoot lending more probability to Orang Pendek, like.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of like the skunk ape of Florida. I mean, some people think that that's not a Bigfoot, that that's more of a monkey or ape or a different species or something.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, I kind of think it's almost more possible to a skunk ape exists than a Bigfoot being in 49 states. It's just those swamps in Florida and South Georgia. It's like people don't... How many people go in those?
Yeah.
Because you don't come out. Some dangerous stuff down there with the snakes and spiders and bugs and gators. But, you know,
Isn't that where Enoch is based on, that area?
What's that?
The book Enoch, isn't that based in Florida?
I don't know. I haven't read that.
Oh.
It's supposed to be a good book. It's suggested.
Some people just think, you know, Bigfoot's in the Pacific Northwest, and that's kind of how it was for me growing up until all these TV shows came on. I didn't, you know, Bigfoot was a faraway myth, you know, or it wasn't something in my backyard. And now with all these TV shows, they're, you know, a lot of them saying they're in every state. And there's some people that think they're just in the Pacific Northwest, but then how do you rule out all the rest of the sightings in America? If you can discount those, then you could discount the ones in the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
I definitely think that that's the more suitable habitat up there. You know, the wet, mild weather and the coniferous forests and mountains. But Stacy Brown had an interesting theory. I was on a show with him, and he said that he thinks they're Gigantopithecus or some sort of variant, and that they came over the land bridge, and that they're the most concentrated in the Pacific Northwest because that's the first place that they landed, and they kind of trickled down into the other areas. You know, so he's thinking there's, you know, maybe 30 in Florida where there's like, you know, 2,000-3,000 in, say, Washington or Pacific Northwest.
Is that the trickle-down theory?
I guess that would be. And then they'd probably flourish in certain areas like Florida or
Ohio.
I would say northern Minnesota, but it's just too cold. I don't see it
flourishing. Ohio had 2,000-3,000, too. Ohio and the Pacific Northwest.
Why do you think that they're more prevalent in Ohio than some other places?
That's a good question.
It's kind of, if you look at the state populations, Ohio is like, you know, fifth or sixth or something, and it's also fifth or something in Bigfoot sightings. And it seems like the states with the most sightings have the highest population, except for Oregon. That's what
I think
Oregon's not as populated, but it has a lot of sightings.
Right.
So that doesn't fit in with that theory. But, I mean, it makes sense. You have more people. You have a lot of deciduous woods. A lot of farms, and I don't know how big the national or the state parks and different parks are in Ohio. I don't know. I think you're just more people, more likely to see one, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe the climate is a little milder than, say, northern Minnesota, so maybe more of a successful breeding.
Oh, you need two things to have a Bigfoot sighting. You need a Bigfoot and a person. So I think population is, you know. It almost seems like that, like Washington has more population than Oregon does. Oregon also has a lot of closed-off woods. I mean, there was a lot of gated areas in Oregon. So I think there's a lot less areas for people to actually access. So.
Yeah, like Washington's a fairly populated state. I think it was like 13th most populated with humans. And then I think Bigfoot sightings, what is it, 1, 2, or 3?
Right. I think it might be 2 to California.
So as far as I was just looking at, you know, the correlation one day, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. If these states have the most people, and, you know, it was, you know, a pretty decent match. Except Oregon didn't fit in the mix. So it's, I don't know why Ohio. That's a good question, though. They have bears down there, don't they?
In Ohio?
Yes.
So yes, they do.
And another thing is Bigfoot sightings tend to overlap bear habitat as well. which I think accounts for some misidentifications and sightings.
So according to the BFRO website, Washington's number one in sightings. Well, California's two.
Sweet.
Actually, Ohio and Illinois are both ahead of Oregon in sightings.
So, a lot of people in those states.
Right. That actually seems to make sense. More people, more sightings.
Yeah, because... I mean, I guess if they're in Alaska and Canada, northern Minnesota is a cakewalk, so I shouldn't say that they can't live in the cold or be as successful in breeding. At the same time, if you think of that population thing, the majority of our 5 million people or whatever are clustered, you know, in the Minneapolis surrounding area. So if there's not as many people living up in the northern Minnesota and the less people, less sightings.
But not any less Bigfoot.
Yeah, there could be more Bigfoot, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to, no one really, it's kind of a funny topic when you bring it up with people here. It's definitely not a big area for believers. Get some funny looks.
Yeah.
Whereas where you live, it seems to be kind of part of the culture.
Yeah, it's interesting because people that know that I'm into, you know, I go looking for Bigfoot, think it's cool, so.
Nice.
You're in Minnesota. You're still in Minnesota, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So.
You betcha.
You betcha, there. Okay.
Well, Bigfoot live up north, Gary, you know.
Bigfoot here. Okay. One of the cool things that we have here in Oregon is a guy. If you're familiar with Guy Edwards, who does the Bigfoot Lunch Club, he also holds, like, we have a meeting once a month in Portland called Hop Squatch, which, you know, nothing goes better with a squatch talk than beer. So, in fact, next Sunday, he brings in different speakers, and it's fun because it's a cool mix of people with different beliefs, that, you know, that... I haven't seen any fights break out yet, so. But we've had Cliff Berrickman come and speak, and Derek Randall and his, basically, the entire team from the Olympic Project has come down, and all kinds of different people come and speak. It's a fun event, so.
Yeah, that looks like an awesome thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, you know, there's been over 100 people there. Dr. Meldrum's come and spoke, so, yeah, it's fun. Do you get a chance
is that in Portland?
Over? Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, we don't have that kind of stuff here. It's interesting how areas like Ohio, Pennsylvania, they seem to be a little more into it and have meetups and stuff, too. And obviously the Big Ohio Bigfoot Conference, Creature Weekend. Don't have that stuff here. And you know, we got Abe runs a Minnesota Bigfoot research team. And he does some expeditions and stuff here, but that's about it.
Excuse me. So... Did we solve the problem? What's wrong with Bigfoot research?
Yep. Everything should be smooth sailing from here on in.
Somebody tried to call in and said they got said no show. So we have a technical problem.
Yeah, that happened.
I hit my computer to see if I could fix it.
Interesting. Oh, that would make sense why we hadn't gotten any callers.
But, yeah.
There are some problems, you know, you get with Blog Talk, but it's kind of the platform that I like the best. You know, I looked into the YouTube, Google Hangout, and other formats, but Blog Talk has a quality chat room, the ability to take callers sometimes. And it's just overall the best platform. That's too bad.
Richard says there are no Bigfoot in Connecticut. He's looked. We can check Connecticut off the list.
All right, we're down to 48 states.
Well, there's not none. I don't think there's any sightings from Hawaii, so.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of doing
not
a Kona blend. Yeah, I'm going to do a Kona
blend. Someone said that there was recently.
A Bigfoot sighting in Hawaii? That is a long swim.
Yes, and that's what I had heard, that they were. I always had heard that they were in every state except for Hawaii, and I swear I recall just this last week or two someone saying that there was a sighting in Hawaii. I'll never be able to backtrack and find out who said it and where, so, but I did
it
see that.
It's been a really hairy dude down on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think, the best thing about the BFRO for me is the fact that they have such a good database of sightings, and it just gives you a good idea of what's happened in certain spots at certain times.
Yeah, it's nice that there's a database with, you know, kind of the central location for sightings.
Yeah. I don't know, finding Bigfoot, I kind of burned out on that, but I'm kind of, now I'll throw it on in the background and see what's going on, but I'm surprised it's lasted this long.
Well, my understanding is this is the last season.
Yes, this is it.
Yeah. I remember in the first season thinking that this format, you know, will burn out at some point, because...
Yeah.
It's so, but they've gone and, you know, it's entertaining. I mean, kudos to the people that are doing it. It has raised awareness, I think. And it's great for, you know, it's great for kids, an introduction to Bigfooting stuff. So, and it's, you know, people talk about what it should be. Well, it is what it is, and it's entertainment.
Yep.
It's not, so.
Yeah, yeah. I think Matt Moneymaker even said that it's not geared towards the researcher.
Oh, he said it's that? Geared,
yeah, it's geared towards the public or whatever.
Well, is he aware of how many adults have gone out in an effort to mimic their methods and or banging on trees and screaming bloody murder in the woods?
My dad watched it in a... He was asking if they're in Minnesota, and I'm like, yeah, supposedly up by the Boundary Waters, you know. He's like, well, I never saw one up there. And then he watched the show, and he's like, you know, this is a show about nothing.
Yeah.
He's like, it was funny, though, the Minnesota episode where Bobo just got destroyed by mosquitoes.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, that's our state bird.
Yeah, I remember that.
He was
that
cooking
one,
the turkey bacon, trying to lure in the squatch.
Yeah, huh. It's. But if you talk to the cast members, it's, you know, that they know that that's not. That's all that they do when they go Bigfooting.
You really? Know,
yeah. Well, generally, they don't run around with cameras strapped to them either, so. It's totally scripted, you know, the idea to go out, not totally, everything's not totally scripted, but it follows a format. Go to a location, you know, you would not go to one location, have something happen, and then take off for another location the following week. If you had something happen, you'd stay there. So
right.
And you've talked to Cliff and hung out with Cliff.
What's that?
You know Cliff then, huh?
I do, but I don't, you know, I know him through Hopsquatch and stuff, so. We haven't, I've never been watching with Cliff yet, but
Okay. Maybe
when he comes back home and isn't, you know, off chasing Bigfoot for TV, maybe we'll go out.
Yeah, a lot of people are bitter about that show, but you're right, it is bringing awareness. And at the same time, it's getting kids off their computers and video games and getting them outside. And, you know, it can't hurt to go get some exercise and go out in nature and bang on a few trees.
That's kind of the, you know, creating. Some of that stuff does work if you've gone out and done some vocalizations, you know, or knocked on trees, you might get something that happens. It's not going to, the likelihood of it having a Bigfoot come and causing you to have a visual is probably low. But you might get something that answers you back when, if you knock on a tree or you scream, you might get something, you know, might respond. So it's good for going out and creating a Bigfoot experience, possibly.
Not a good way to put it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I chalked it up to researchers like last-ditch efforts. You know, if they were on maybe an expedition for 3-4 days a week, I chalked up the wood knocking and the yelling to be something they tried on the last night when all else failed or something like that.
Yeah,
if I only had a limited time in the woods, I think I'd do it.
So, yeah, I'll be sad to see Finding Bigfoot go just because, though I think it does create the opportunity for something, some other kind of show, hopefully not another Bigfoot Bounty, because I was not a fan of that show at all.
They brought
I'm
science.
I'm a fan of anything.
What's that? You're not a fan
What'd
of
you
anything,
say?
Or you're.
I'm a fan of all of them. Anything Bigfoot. And plus, since I kind of knew some of the characters from Facebook and from talking to them on this show and other Google Hangouts and whatnot, I was pretty. It was entertaining, I guess.
What was it that you did not like about the show?
What didn't I like about it? Because they were, like, forced to go, you know, when they were sent out to go spend whatever limited amount of time and you have to come back with something. So it made, and they didn't, not prefacing that, it made them look incompetent. You know, like, they were bringing back stuff that they knew wasn't Bigfoot-related because they were required to bring back something. And then they were raked over the coals for it. So.
Yeah.
It was a game, you know, it was kind of Survivor meets Finding Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it did anything to further Bigfoot research.
Now, is there going to be a...
Except, I think in Stacey Brown's case, because, you know, he may be able to finance spending more time doing it and have some more success, so.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it looks like we got a caller now. Someone's been able to get through. 856, welcome to the show.
Hi, Johnny, and I'm glad to be a part of the show. And I'm glad you're back on the air and looking forward to your future broadcast.
Very nice.
That's what I'm saying about vehicles. You're saying like about vehicles, ATVs and such. I had my encounter in 93, and we were in F-Ford 250. We was coming up a ridge. Like I said, it was unbelievable, but the encounter happened in Pennsylvania, right near West Virginia. And like hell, we was only a mile from West Virginia when we had our encounter. And we was right in the truck riding down a dirt road. And like I said, like the rest of everyone else thought at the time, like it only happens in the Northwest, but I had an encounter with a large bipedal individual, a very large bipedal individual. And it was me and my uncle. He was just showing me right. He always grew up in the area, but I was like somewhat amazed, you know what I mean?
I bet. Did that get you into the subject pen ever since?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I would have no interest in the subject unless I was involved in it, but unless I had somewhat personal involvement in it. And it just amazed me, right? Well, I questioned myself for years and years about what that we've seen, because my uncle was, he's passed away since then, but like, what the hell did we see? And he said he's never seen anything like that. Actually, the conversation got a little bit better because he used profanity, and my uncle was never one to use profanity, but, and we didn't tell too many people about that encounter, but when he told me, he looked at me and said, "What the F was that?" And I'm sitting in the passenger side, and I look over, and we see, like I said, it's probably no more than 60 yards away from us, walking up a ridgeline, paralleling us. Actually, it went a little steeper than paralleling us after I seen the vehicle, but my uncle claimed to have, before I saw it, he had claimed he had turned around and looked at him in the truck. And he was just never got over that.
I bet.
And it was pretty fascinating, but like I said, like, and we both came to a conclusion it was Bigfoot, because this is 93. It was in late August, and I knew about Bigfoot, but thought they only existed out on the West Coast. And this is like,
and that was on the border of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, Fayette County. We were in Fayette County, and we were like within a mile and a half of West Virginia when this occurred.
Wow. Have you gone looking ever since, or are you hoping they get officially discovered, or how do you feel about it now?
I think you need a type 1 specimen. Like, I think you need a specimen to make it proof, but I mean, I've never seen one ever again. I mean, when I go back home sometimes, I live in South Jersey now, but I've never seen anything like that in my life. And just the mass of the creature is like, you can't describe to people what you see, but yeah, I would like this. Yeah, I don't know. Some of the stories are kind of scary, but I'm not quite sure if I want to see one up close and personal, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
of course, I would like to see another one again. Just inquisitive, you know what I mean? Just make sure, but to confirm what we saw And back then, we didn't have all the computer bullshit. Like, I'm sure it was available, but we didn't have the money for all that. But nowadays, internet access is available to everybody, so. It just makes an interesting story for people. And everyone thinks everyone sees Bigfoot as nuts or something, but.
Well, not everyone.
Yeah. But of course,
you're among friends.
Yeah, it's always cool when you see one with another person. You know, I think that must really help at least solidify in your mind that what you saw was something real. Versus, you know,
well, you got a better view of it than I did, because after he turned, they looked at the truck. And he looked at it. He saw his face, so.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I was the passenger in the truck at the time. But it was amazing. I mean, from what my vantage point was, it was amazing. Never seen anything like that in my life.
One of the lucky people. You won the lottery that day. Yeah. Got the rare encounter. Yeah, there seems to be quite a few sightings down in Pennsylvania. And I'm not so sure about West Virginia or not, but I know Mountain Monsters likes to think so.
Well, yeah, I know
so
Mountain Monsters believe that too, but at the time, I didn't register because it was like, and finally, both of us concluded that this was a Bigfoot. But at the time, this is 93. And Bigfoot was in the west, the northwest. You know what I mean? That part of the region. And so we didn't know what the hell it was. But
yeah.
We both concluded that this was a Bigfoot.
Do you follow Bigfoot research now? What are your takes on the Bigfoot research? Do you think it's succeeding or failing or?
You know what? I think everyone tries to disprove everybody. I mean each group has to be the best. And I like the groups that just allow individuals that they say they saw Bigfoot. You know, crazy as it may sound, you know, they accept that. Well, you know, some of them are a little far-fetched. You know, I mean, I'm not saying stump squats or nothing like that, but, I mean, I have no proof other than what I'm telling you right now. I mean, you might discount this as bullshit, you know what I mean? And that's your prerogative, but I know what I saw, and I believe in the existence of, you know, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever you want to call it. I know they exist.
Mm-hmm.
But,
nice.
Like saying a personal experience, that doesn't prove anything, but I think if we organize together, I'm living in South Jersey now. You know what my chances are of seeing a Bigfoot? A very, very none. Maybe the Jersey Devil, maybe, but not a Bigfoot.
I imagine when you actually see one, then, you know, it goes from, messes with your mind because it goes from a legend to reality in a second.
Yeah, on the Bigfoot part.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you know what? You're right. And I just stated, like, everyone's to work together, but you know what? There might be some cryptic creature walking around the forest of southern New Jersey, known as the Jersey Devil, or it might be misidentification, too.
Yeah,
and, like,
that could be a Bigfoot.
possibly it could be whatever. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speculate on that. But I know what I seen in 93 was a Bigfoot-type creature. And I'm open to skepticism. I mean, but like I said, I haven't found any proof of the Bigfoot living in New Jersey.
We can rule. Can we mark off another state then? Down to.
Well, that's my personal experiences. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's other people. There's other claims of New Jersey of seeing the something. You know what I mean? Bigfoot-like creature.
Yeah. Yeah, there. I'm sure there's something in the BFRO that's database. It's got.
Yeah. 50 listings in the BFRO. So,
for Jersey?
For, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently, they don't care so much for Connecticut or Delaware or North Dakota or Rhode Island. So.
Yeah. North Dakota is like a just barren, cold and barren. Interesting. Yeah. It's, I think, you know, unless we're dealing with some sort of perfect creature, I think it's only a matter of time until something shows up. I mean, there's a part of me, I guess, that thinks we are, you know, that it, there's a lot wrong with Bigfoot research. When I watch those old shows in the 70s, it just, we haven't really gotten anywhere. I mean, those, that it seems like we were further back then. But at the same time, you know, you have these new innovative techniques with the copters and the potential blimp and, you know, the interconnectedness of the web and everyone can talk to everyone and share information, well, if they will.
That's the challenge there, John.
That's right. Everyone connecting with everyone, just trying to call in and just like, you know, just think about the encounters that happen that no one even wants to speak about. Because you know what? I don't tell people about this encounter. I told my uncle, I told a few relatives, and they looked at me like we were both nuts. You know what? This is my father, I told, and he didn't believe me at all. And like, it's just a matter of perspective, I guess. I mean, that's like if you believe in ghosts or UFOs, you know what I mean? It's like people look at you like you're a little bit stranger now. If you, I would never post this on my Facebook, you know what I mean? I should post on my Facebook just to see the reaction the next day, you know what I mean? Just post it on my Facebook and just wait for a reaction, you know what I mean? Because I guarantee you, the majority of people will tell me I'm nuts, and we both know what we saw.
Yeah. For me, I think it just confirms to people that I am what they already suspected. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't took that like one step forward to like do that stuff, but I'm in the process of doing it because I'm getting a little older now, so I don't care anymore. Basically, you know what I mean? So what people think of me is nothing. And accept me for what I am or think I'm a complete nut or... But time will tell. Hopefully, I'll be proven right in my... Like, eventually, someone will bring in a specimen. And
I think it's true of a lot of witnesses that have had, you know, they would like it to be proved to kind of be vindicated for the people that have given them, you know, grief about it.
Absolutely.
I've read into other witnesses that, like, two people really recently that had sightings, like, 30 years ago, one of them told their family and were given a bunch of crap about it, so they didn't tell anybody for 30 years, and and when when we got to talking about it, I mean, he just there's a relief to being able to have somebody that doesn't judge you and think you're crazy. And that's, you know, that's a kind of a, because I'm sure people question themselves, what did I see, you know? I mean, that's like you were saying, you were questioned what you had seen. So I see why there's people that wanted to be commonly known, because they can then, you know, be vindicated.
Well, at least they can go back and listen to the long talk and, like, this is, well, this is not my full story. I ain't giving my full story, but I go back a little further. I have my wife's cousin. She came from Washington State, and she swears up and down she had an encounter. You know what? Everybody in her family and my family made fun of her because she saw Bigfoot. This is way before my encounter. And so naturally, I was just, and now I feel kind of bad now. They got divorced.
Over the
Bigfoot encounter? I feel bad now. And that it was other unrelated incident, but
okay.
I'm just saying I'm sorry they didn't stick up for her at the time, because everybody was like making fun of her, and I was right there in the group too.
That's,
I mean,
awesome.
This is back in the 80s, like it was an older cousin. I mean, they're saying she had Bigfoot come up, and they were camping out somewhere in Washington State. That's where she's from, and she swore now a Bigfoot came up in her camp, and we all laughed about it. But I felt truly bad about laughing at her, because now, and let's go back in 93, I had an encounter. But
yeah, funny
that's
how
the
that
same
works.
Shit happens now. That's the same thing happens to me. If I tell people, I told certain people about this, and they basically did the same thing to me. And, like, people just don't believe. I didn't believe it. Like,
yeah.
First story is more believable because it was in Washington. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I'm telling people I seen a Bigfoot in Pennsylvania, West Virginia border. You know, what the hell are they going to think about me? And so it's the irony of the whole thing. The whole subject, I guess, is so.
Yeah, and
but
with all the TV stuff, they kind of make it, our culture just makes it into a joke with the commercials, and I mean, it's just woven into the fabric of our culture as kind of just a joke.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, when there is a news story, it's always played from that angle. And then when something like, you know, a hoax comes about, then they play it up really good, and it gets all kinds of airtime. I mean, that's what you see as a news story.
Hey, Roy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the news loves to jump on it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's the Daily from the UK and the Huffington Post. Like, yeah, they'll jump on a stump squatch.
I didn't even know what the Huffington Post was until I just got, I delved a little deeper into the subject, you know what I mean? I didn't realize there was that many sightings in Pennsylvania. I didn't realize the whole entire East Coast, I should say. The Appalachians, and I was just amazed to find how many sightings there are on the East Coast region.
Yeah, those Smoky Mountains and the Appalachians over there, those are some beautiful prime area. Protected areas. Not many people go in them.
No, but it's kind of in the middle of course. 104 on the field.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite hear that.
Yeah, there was an echo there.
Yeah, somewhere we're getting... I'm hearing an echo in the... No.
Someone might have their speakers on or something.
I have mine shut off. And... You know, I just want to thank you again, John, for bringing the show back on. And I appreciate everything you bring to the Bigfoot community.
You're welcome, man. Thanks for sharing your story. It's awesome.
Man, if I get an opportunity, I'll give you more in-depth detail. But
cool.
And I'll let you go, man.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, keep squatching, brother.
And Patrick Cassie, anyway. I don't know if I even told you, but...
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Cool.
Nice.
Have a good night.
You too, man.
Glad to hear you back on the air, man.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
I'm going to hang up the phone and turn it back on. Your blog talk.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll get talk to you later, man.
All right, we'll see you, Patrick. I don't know why we have this echo, but we're all running down to our last few minutes anyway. Are you guys still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here. You sound
I'm
fine.
Here.
It seemed to clear up when you hung up, so.
Okay. Wow, that's cool. Patrick's been a long-time listener and a member of the Bigfoot community. That's good to hear stories like that. That, you know, they really suck you in, I guess, once that happens to you.
Yeah.
But it also does that. He's right that the stigma of reporting, telling people that you had a Bigfoot sighting. I do think that finding Bigfoot has helped with that to some degree, too. It's made it more acceptable for people to talk about it.
True. But I think it's still just a joke to the general public.
And yeah. Definitely in the media still.
Yeah, but you're right. It's more of a common thing to talk about maybe now.
Right. But for witnesses, I think it's made it easier for them to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's one good thing, too, about the Bigfoot community is divided and, you know, argumentative it can be. It's also a good resource for information and networking with fellow people that have had sightings and, you know, people like-minded people to hang out with.
Right. No, it's always funny when we're in Bigfooting and then people are pointing at other people's Bigfooting and saying, you know, you're weird. Like, we're all weird to people on the outside. We're all looking at for Bigfoot. So, if we all just, you know, treat each other with respect, we don't have to, you know, agree to disagree. We're not going to agree with everything. I don't agree with some of the things but I'm still friends with people that I don't agree 100% with what they're telling me.
That's a very good point.
So
that is a very good point. I guess that's just the power of passion and belief. You're right. We should be able to be friends with someone.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of humanity is that we all are different. It'd be a pretty boring place if we all thought exactly the same.
Right.
I was just thinking about that point recently. Like, you know, hey, I might not believe what you believe, but we can still be friends.
Yeah. But I'll defend your right to your own beliefs.
Well, I guess so. We got 90 seconds left.
All right. thanks for getting us on here, John.
Yeah. It's awesome. Thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it. It's fun. So.
Have a new team here at Monster X. Thanks, everyone in the chat room. Bigfoot Hotspot, Night X Watchers, Patrick, Paul, Beth.
Am I correct in telling people, Johnny, that they can, if they want to, they can to go to iTunes and download the show if they didn't have a chance to listen to it live?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all, they get put on archive and Blog Talk pretty fast. And then I have the link on my blog, monsterxradio.blogspot.com. And there's also a link to iTunes, I think, on Blog Talk and on my blog. And I'm not sure how long it takes to go on there, but, yeah, the show will go on iTunes as well.
All right. Very cool.
Awesome, you guys. Well, thanks,
all right.
Crystal.
All right, guys.
Crystal, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you also.
Keep being dangerous.
Yes.
We'll see everyone next week.
See you guys.
All right.
See ya.
Bye-bye.